This is WTBR Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Today I'm here with Congressman Richard Neal. We are broadcasting on PCTV, Channel 1301, and 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. Congressman, happy fall.
Glad to be back, I can tell you. Now we all get back to the, where it'll be about the 9-week sprint now to the election.
Oh boy, I'll tell
everybody's
you.
Everybody's attention now shifts to that. Labor Day has almost a mystical history to it as it relates to national politics, as you know. And even though the campaign's been going on for a while, there's certainly been a lot of drama this summer. That's for sure. So the whole dynamic and what everybody planned for was upended. The result of which is Labor Day still remains that important date because it's no longer the marathon. It's now the sprint.
That's exactly right. And get here's my thing. And let me just, I don't care who you vote for, but get out and vote. Get out and it just amazes me the number of people who say, I'm not going to vote. I'm not voting. I'm not for the, what? You have to, I mean, I don't know. I can remember my mother taking us in snowstorms, rain, the three of us by our hand right down to St. Charles School to vote. It was sacrosanct.
Well, the ones that goad me the most on it are the ones that sort of congratulate themselves over not voting.
Yeah. And then they gripe.
And then when they say there's no difference, believe me, every election I've ever participated in, there was a difference.
Well, and I will tell you, I have a motto here, and I won't embarrass you. But it's a nice motto. It's FCC approved. Don't vote, don't gripe.
I agree.
And because especially with local elections, you're not. Well, I'm not voting for the mayor. I don't care for either one of them. Okay.
Well, it's, you know, I think that even recent history over the last 40 years, despite what some might say, there was a distinct difference between the aspirants for the White House. And anybody who would take a contrary view of that, they're deluding themselves.
Right.
Whether it's tax policies, the war in Iraq, you go right down the list, and you would quickly conclude that there was, in fact, substantial differentiation between the two presidential candidates. And also, when you consider what happened in the United States Senate, would you consider what's happened in the House of Representatives, gubernatorial races across the country. So I share your view clearly and assertively, elections make a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's important to know that right now the people of Poland are, I don't want to say celebrate, commemorating the Nazi invasion, the 1st of September, as you know, you're a historian like I am. Well, you're a lot better than I am. You have more pictures. I was talking with Jack before we get on. Wonderful party for a wonderful public servant, Smitty Pignatelli, the other night. He's stepping down. He's not going to run again. What a tribute to him. Just an amazing man. That's all.
Yeah. And well-deserved. Representative Pignatelli, he worked hand in glove with us in this office.
Yeah,
on a lot of different issues, not the least of which was the town hall restoration in Lenox. But beyond that, he also demonstrated a special courage as it related to the issue of GE and the Housatonic River.
Yeah,
and I think in those instances there, he was a leader.
Oh yeah,
he wasn't testing opinion. He was measuring the quality or the substance of the competing arguments, and he was willing to take a position and make a stand on it. And I think that too many times today in our democracy that people are rewarded for going sideways rather than going forward.
Yeah, and I will tell you also that he's been on this show. I go back, I'm a little... Well, you and I are pretty close, but younger than Smitty, or older than Smitty, with his dad. And I always referred to his dad as Mr. Pignatelli. And his dad would always say, call me John, call me John. I said, no, you don't understand, Mr. Pignatelli. I don't call everybody Mr., just people I respect. And I knew him from county commissioner and all that. And I will say this in very caring way. Smitty, that apple didn't fall far from the tree. Neither did his brothers or sisters. They're all just wonderful people.
And they're Smitty, family. Yeah, terrific family. And yeah. I think dad. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. His whole notion of public service was something that was almost reverential.
Oh, yeah. And Smitty followed.
And I think with Smitty, he adopted the same stature.
Yeah.
You should know that I was trying to encourage him to stay. I like him very, very much. And yeah. I also thought he was singularly a great voice for a lot of issues that are really important to people across Berkshire County.
Yes.
So it's one of the friendships that largely was brought about because of Gene D'Elia. And when he introduced me to Smitty a long time ago, I thought that, you know what, this guy's got a lot of backbone.
Yeah. And he does. I mean, I've known him to take tough issues on this show and others. And, you know, I don't want to paraphrase you, but he's not anxious to get on the Sunday morning shows.
Exactly right. You know, the people that, by the way, most of the times, the people that you see on the Sunday shows, I'd like to know what some of the amendments are that they've gotten passed. I'd like to see what the major legislation is that they've embraced. I mean, there's nothing easier in political life today than being able to put on a good seminar. What you need is the result of the seminar.
Yeah.
And that's the patience and it's the rectitude, but it's also, I think, the vision that comes with it.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's the people that are very good with their thumbs today as it relates to social media. They keep the conflict going for sure. And one of the challenges we have in our political arena today, Bill, is that the public oftentimes rewards the conflict rather than the substantiation of the achievement of the outcome.
You have nailed it. You have nailed it on the head. I do a little post every morning called Thoughts from the Berkshires. And I had a post the other day. I'll be honest with you, Congressman. I'm burned out on the negativity. I'm burned out on the vile, demeaning conversation. You know, you have run for office a lot.
Yep.
And you have never been demeaning.
Right.
I don't know where this is coming from. It's not America.
You know, at the Democratic convention, I think one of the most highly regarded speech was the one that Bill Clinton made.
Yes.
And he said essentially that we need to listen to people that disagree with us, not to demonize them. Now, there are plenty of people out there that you and I and others we would disagree with and probably in many instances even dislike. But in a country that is so sharply divided over every issue, it strikes me that trying to figure out how we could get some traction with some of them, because even if it is not about the candidates that we like for office, there is a period after the election of governance.
There
is. If the reward is to stalemate things, then you should spend all of your time on social media or maybe even the cable shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I lived through the Vietnam protests. I am a Vietnam veteran. We felt the harshness of some, and I'm being kind with the word harshness, when we came home, but never to this extent.
Yeah, coupled with the fact that I think that social media oftentimes amplifies conflict.
Oh, sure.
And the number of people that are sitting home arguing with people they're never going to meet, incidentally, always astounds me, you know. And then we always suspect in politics that oftentimes it's the same person with 10 different names on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to gin up their argument. The seriousness of legislating is really hard. I mean, you sit in a room, you have people that disagree. You try to find some common ground if you can. And you then sometimes have to give. And I think that when you look at many of the things that we've done over the last 3 years, they've been spectacular in terms of their achievement. if underreported by mainstream media. And as we proceed in this election cycle, we live in a time now, Bill, of more and more choose a side journalism.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what we read and what we witness and what we see is frequently the allowance that says, well, just dial in the news that agrees with you.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. And there, you know, I get a kick out of when they say, well, we fact check this. What? But I used to be a cop. There's a difference between your fact checking and facts.
Yeah.
I have to say this because I had the good fortune of sitting at the annual Greek picnic that they moved up to the old St. Mark's School, Hillcrest Educational. And I had the great pleasure of sitting across from, I call him Field Marshal, you call him Gene Delia, and his beautiful wife, Barbara. And I said, you're not going to convention? I said, been there, done that. But again, you're right in the middle of it. I'm just on the periphery. What's happened? Why are we? I mean, I know brothers and sisters that are arguing.
Well, it's certainly true in every family. I think that part of the problem is that opinions have now become substituted for facts. And I think that many of us who come from a certain generation, the reward of re-election for us was largely based upon what we accomplished, which was largely driven by an embrace of facts.
Right.
And I think, again, the speed with which news travels today, I mean, it's instant. If you go near your phone, as you know, from minute to minute, there's all sorts of alerts that are flashed at you. And the problem with that is that most of it is inaccurate.
Yeah.
And I think that even the when you're watching cable news, oftentimes when I'm in the barbershop in the afternoon or something, I'm always amazed that every story is now breaking news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, no matter what, it's breaking news. And you know why? It's the breaking news is often the president walking to the helicopter or something. He's taken a turn and they slow walk it to try to create more news. And I think it allows people to find more and more in which they might disagree.
Right.
But I also think that, you know, CNN used to be the middle ground. And then that changed.
Used to be.
My joke is that people will say, what do you think about this election and the presidential election? And as you know, I'm all in with the vice president.
Right.
Tell her, terrific person. But the humor for me, somebody said, well, what do you think the outcome is going to be? I said, well, we've got the New York Times and we've got NPR. We just got to figure out where we go for the next 75 million voters.
Yes. and you know, you made an important point because I was in South Africa when working in South Africa when CNN was the go-to network, even international.
Yeah.
Because over there we got CNN and the BBC.
Right.
And I never told my mother I watched the BBC, but I did. But you know, I don't know now. Here's what I try to do. This is by now you already know I'm goofy. But I try to go off. I watch the first hour of every one, MS, CNN, Newsmax, and MSNBC. You're right. They're camps.
Well, here we are 9 weeks from the election, and we're still in the same spot we were in 2016.
Yeah.
Seven states.
There we go.
And, you know, I've got my own analysis about the seven states, of which I think there's probably three or four that are going to decide this. And if challenged, I would say there's likely one big one that could decide this, and that's Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
And the vice president has held an okay lead. in these three states of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. I think that the number in Wisconsin has firmed up. It's been pretty consistent now for weeks.
Okay.
So I also think Michigan a little bit more of a challenge. Pennsylvania, she's held a lead. And between now and the first week in November, the first Monday, first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, one of the things that is really going to be important is the amount of time and money that is spent in those states. You'll figure out immediately what happens in those states based on where the candidates now go and where the ads are on TV. We won't see a lot of ads here unless you live in the Lowell area or Boston, because there'll still be a little bit of a nudge toward New Hampshire.
Right, right.
But the rest of this is pretty locked down. So when you consider that here we are 9 weeks away and 43 states have already made up their minds, that tells you about the challenge that's in front of us. I was in Northern Maine for the vice president not long ago. And what's important to remember is that Nebraska and Maine, they split their electoral votes.
You're right.
So that's how close this is. So the Omaha seat in Nebraska, Biden won by, I believe, 7 points last time. And Trump won the Northern Maine electoral votes by a fairly comfortable margin as well.
Right.
So that's something we have to keep an eye on. That's how surgically you have to look at these campaigns.
Yeah. And you know, again, people, you have to vote. I mean, God knows they've made it. If you got mail-in votes, you got absentee votes, you got, you know, drop box votes, you got all kinds of things. What's holding you up?
Well, I never forget what happened at the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
Yeah.
When John Lewis marched over that bridge simply seeking the right to vote.
Yeah.
And we've struggled with this throughout our history. But Lyndon Johnson wisely and correctly separated the Civil Rights Act of 64 from the Voting Rights Act of 65. That legislative genius and vote counting ability that he had was really important, because John Lewis and the Freedom Marchers, they were going over that bridge that day simply to vote.
Yeah.
And to urge people to not give up this precious right that we have, that people have literally died for, including the veterans who have served this country, to make sure that we weren't speaking another language because of conquest.
Right.
And that ability that we have to decide our own future and our own outcome is precious.
And we all have to, I guess what really has me rattled in is these demonstrations pro-Hamas, pro-this and taking down the United States. You know, I've been doing this thing at the break, and I have a little flag here, and I'll show you at the break. But it breaks my heart. You and I have, or you more than I, but I've studied history, but I've also traveled the world, as you have. It's always darn nice to get back home.
Oh, no question about it.
You know, I mean, I've been to the UK, and it's a wonderful place, but now they're having their problems. The right wing is and I don't mean political. I mean the right wing.
But that takes you back to the point you raised earlier in the UK, and that is what misinformation and disinformation did to highlight those challenges and differences.
Yep.
The arguments that were made on social media were erroneous, but they worked people up. And look, let's be frank, across Western Europe, migration now has touched off a lot of the problems that we have at the Southwest border.
Exactly.
And the unrest that has come about oftentimes is based on misinformation as it's applied. And I always distinguish, Bill, between misinformation and disinformation with the following. Misinformation can be an honest mistake.
Right, right.
Right. But disinformation is a deliberative effort to mislead people.
Right.
So
sway
you're right.
People.
you're right using that example in the UK, but over the weekend in Germany, the right-wing
Exactly.
forces, they are doing better in East Germany than they are the old East Germany, I should say, than they were doing in the what I would call the Republic of Germany. But you're at the outset, you said something that was right on target. I was in Ludlow at the Portuguese festival over the weekend with the ambassador, and Ludlow, as you know, has a large Portuguese population.
Oh, sure.
And what was interesting about it, I had a long conversation with the Bishop of Krakow.
Oh, wow.
He was visiting,
Oh, cool.
and I was telling him that amongst the models that I've met in life for heroic stature was Lech Walesa.
Me too.
I mean, I think of what he did in that shipyard in Gdansk on a Friday afternoon when he jumped back over that fence. And if you recall, I had this long conversation with the bishop when we talked about the murder of that young priest, Jerzy Papaszewski. And in Poland, they want the right to vote, and they're afraid of Russia. That's the reality. And I think that the people in Poland, look, with successive American presidents from Roosevelt on until the former president, we all adopted a pretty bipartisan foreign policy. And foreign policy was largely based upon opposition to Russian expansion. And I look back at that and I think that the premises of democracy, or the premise of democracy that you valiantly fought for, and what's striking about it is that you need the basics of constitutional privilege and rights. Free speech. In America, you're guaranteed a second opinion. You take free speech. How about the right to assemble in America? Free press, freedom of religion. These are precious rights that generations of Americans have fought and died for. And the smallest thing that we ask is that you simply cast a vote. I think that's a reasonable request.
Once every 4 years,
Once every, yeah, exactly.
or every couple of years, local. I quick story. We went on a pilgrimage with Father Peter Gregory from St. Charles to Poland, and it called Footsteps of Pope John Paul. And we went to the church where they have a picture, and I'll send it to you, with Father Peter got there, of the young priest who was murdered. But on the way, now don't go crazy on me here because I'm going to mention a name. There was a video, and I can't remember the name of it, produced by former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich and his wife, just about that, just about Poland, Lech Walesa, the Pope. It was amazing, and it was wonderful to watch on the bus, and then we got there. But I the more comical side of the story, we were looking for a post office, and this Polish lady, we stopped in and asked the Polish princess asked this lady, "Where's the post office?" And she said, "I take you." We said, "No, just point." No, she insisted upon taking us. On the way there, I said, "So you have a beautiful country." She said, "Yes." And I said, "You're beautiful people." And she said, "Yes." She said, "We only have two enemies in the world." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, Russia and Germany." Well, thinking back on history, she was 100% correct. I think we're in a pickle right now, and I'm looking for somebody to get us out of the pickle.
Well, we can just lower our voices. I mean, so much of what America is doing in the world is so critical. I mean, I mentioned with the Portuguese ambassador as I thanked him on Sunday in Ludlow. Portugal was an early admittant to NATO, as they were with European Union. And I thanked him in front of everybody for Portugal's continued NATO-based support of Ukraine. And it's beyond me, given what generations of Americans sacrificed to bring about the collapse of the old Soviet Union, that we would now not think that it's important to contribute not manpower or woman power. We're just giving military armaments, hardware, to the Ukrainian people. And I think in the case of the Ukrainian people, they have demonstrated resolve.
Oh, courage.
And what Putin thought was going to be a two-month incursion has now turned into 3 years of stalemate.
Yeah.
Of stalemate.
Yeah, and the Ukrainians are making progress every day. And the Russians are targeting civilians every day. I mean, they just blew up some shopping center over the weekend that targeted with, and you'll get no argument for me on the Ukraine and supporting the Ukraine. And I also, you know, I have to say this, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but I have to say this. President Biden is not running.
Right.
And I'm not going to get into whether it's good or bad. All I want to say is there was a guy who for years, many, even when I was on Capitol Hill, was a mover and a shaker. He will be missed because of his ability to get things done. Like you. I mean, and that's a compliment to you and him. I mean, you go into the Senate, you got this and you got that. Who's who in the, you know, and all of a sudden we have a bill. Same with you or a budget or whatever. And I'm going to get myself in trouble here, but it won't be the first time. Ask any of the nuns. They seem to have lost the collegial piece of the office.
Well, I thought it was important that not long ago, Mitch McConnell described Joe Biden as a decent guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always use the example when George McGovern passed.
Yeah.
Bob Dole said the world was better off because George McGovern had lived.
Yeah.
And today, I mean, if you would think of the way we talk to each other in Washington, you would think that that was not only implausible, but that it was impossible.
Yeah.
And I look back at the continued bickering, and I think much of it is highlighted by a fact-free argument.
Yeah, don't confuse the argument with facts.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah. You know, we know the issues. And what I've tried to do is tone, like you just said, very calm it down, slow it down. The rhetoric. And you know, I have people now after the show, they will say awful things, but I have the skin of an armadillo. So, you know, but but the important thing is we get the word out.
Yeah.
You know, having you on this show, you're speaking to the pretty much Berkshire County now. We strap radio-wise and stuff. And we have to get back to facts. We have to get back to stop demeaning people.
We have.
That drives me nuts.
Through the 3.5 years of Joe Biden's presidency, whether you agree or disagree, you'd have to go back to the Great Society to measure the number of achievements legislatively that we've had that are going to endure to the benefit of the American family for decades to come. And I wish that people had had a chance to reflect upon those accomplishments.
Yeah.
And part of the problem is that, look, mainstream media, which we've always depended upon, it has shrunk. And they used to do context. And we need a vigorous media in America
that
embraces context and fact.
Yeah. The social networks, the TikTok and all of these. I mean, I'm reading a book, and I suggest you, it has nothing to do with history, but let's read it anyhow. It's called Anxious Generation.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman, scary. All well documented with the cell phones and the internet and the bullying and the kids, they're scratching to get teams.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in high school, well, of course, my classmates were Socrates and Plato. But when I was in high school, you had to work to make the team.
Yeah.
They cut as many as they selected. So I say that not to take us off course. We're going to take a quick break. I'm here with Congressman Richard Neal. And as always, it's an honor for me to have him because he's a straight shooting guy. And we'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial and channel 1301 on PCTV. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. More to come from Congressman Richard Neal.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is.
Go through the process of making a monthly budget, even if it's not perfect. It's good to be aware of your financial health.
When shopping for insurance, ask your agent to shop around for you and see if you can bundle your policies.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Hola, hola.
I'm Daisy.
Yo soy Marta.
Whether you want to learn a little Spanish or get a glimpse of our wonderful Latin roots, join us as we celebrate Latin culture with music from genres ranging from salsa to bachata. Gain insight on local news, community information, and very special guests. Only on Mundo Latino, welcoming listeners of all nations on WTBR 89.7 FM.
Support for Mundo Latino comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. I am here with Congressman Richard Neal. Now you know why I have that job, my initials. But anyhow, we are just talking about what's going on in the country, in the election cycle. And it's important, and both of us strongly agree on this. Vote. I don't care who you vote for, but please don't come on the show or text me, because the first question now for the next 2 years, I'm going to ask, did you vote?
Vote, yeah.
You don't vote, don't gripe.
Right. I agree.
What do you think the challenges are for the new administration, whatever side? We've got
the big challenge is in Washington is going to be what to do about the Trump tax cuts. Those expire at the end of 2025. So I expect fully that next, the 10th of September, that the debate between the vice president and the former president, a lot of the focus is going to be on what to do with those tax cuts.
Yeah.
And it's right now, it's just kind of gaining traction. But the vice president has laid out a position. The president, former president, has laid out a position. And I think that implementing the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, the legislation that I noted earlier about these achievements that we've had, that's the most important climate legislation that's ever passed in the history of the world. I also think that the American economy is humming. It is booming. I know that a lot of people don't subscribe to that. And I understand inflation, what that's done.
Yeah.
Inflation is now back down to 3%. And on the inflationary front, what I think is important to recognize is that inflation was an international problem.
Yeah.
COVID. It was not just a United States problem. And I think that the Federal Reserve Board in the middle to end of September, they are now likely to cut interest rates, yeah. Whether or not it's a quarter point or a half point, I don't think anybody knows. But if you stop and think of it, unemployment is at about 4%.
Yeah.
We've had historic employment now for the last 4 years. And inflationary trends are headed in the right direction. The American consumer is still confident. I mean, they're doing their part. And I also think that there's a couple of other things. The problem is you can't put these on a bumper sticker because nobody would pay a lot of attention. But when you say productivity has gone up,
yeah,
that's a big deal. That's what improves the quality of life for all of us, output per hour per person. And when you look at labor participation rates, they're very stable. I know those are not excitable issues, but my goodness, they have a profound impact.
Yeah.
On the direction of the American economy.
And you know, again, it's who you watch. Yeah. If you watch one station, the economy is in the sink.
Yeah.
If you watch the other station, the economy's recovering. If you watch the third station, you're living in utopia. And you say, dude, I was at the grocery store. Trust me, it's not utopia. Yeah. But there is the recovery, and I'm not a politician, but I would say if I were a politician, would I be telling people we're on the road to recovery? Don't be saying to people, oh, it's great. I just left the grocery store, you know?
Well, it tells you again,
yeah,
about what's become a part of the national conversation.
Yeah.
So when you look at all the statistical data that I've just pointed out, all of it's accurate.
Yes. Oh, no. I'm not questioning you.
Interesting part about it is that the number of people on the other side of Biden,
yeah,
think the economy's bad.
Yeah.
And there are Democrats who thought the economy was always terrible with Trump.
I know.
And that's the challenge we have again. We just go back to fact-based analysis. You know, I think that I always remember saying to my Republican friends, did your 401k ever have a better moment than it did when Bill Clinton was president?
Oh, absolutely. I will say, I probably shouldn't say this. You know, I watched President Clinton, and I thought he looked, this just really got me in trouble. I thought he looked older.
Yeah, well.
He's in it. How old is he, 80?
78.
Hey. Well, I, you're right. I often speak of the Clinton years and favorably, mostly, because he, and I just, what he did to reform, and you were there, reform welfare and get people in school, get people working. I thought it was amazing. And I like Bill Clinton.
They were 30 years for the country.
Yeah.
The country did fine. And I thought it was amazing that he left with an extraordinarily high approval rating. Almost two-thirds of the American people thought he had done a decent job. I talked to him recently. I was with him at the White House for an event for the Kenyan president.
Oh, cool.
And so I had a chance to reminisce with him about those years. Because, you know, some of the things that we had to do in those years were not popular. But boy, they turned out to be pretty important for the American family, including, Bill, four balanced budgets.
Yep.
And we've only had five balanced budgets since the end of World War II.
Yep.
And four of them were with Clinton. And again, record high economic growth. As much as our Republican colleagues and friends, they will talk about the Reagan Revolution. When I say to them, Bill Clinton had higher rates of growth, and he did. That's not a put down of anybody. Yeah. I'm simply saying that facts are facts. And I think that you're reading it the way I am, that there were many substantive reforms that took place during those years that endured again to the benefit of the American family.
And I'm sorry. Give the, me saintly Irish mother would always say, give the devil his due. And really and truly, not that Bill Clinton's the devil, but the people are so dug in now. You'll get a kick out of this. I was asked, well, what kind of a Democrat are you? I said, well, I'm an independent because of the show. And I said, but if I were a Democrat, I would be a Kennedy Democrat. And this person said to me, oh, you're a dinosaur. Really? I like to be a dinosaur then, because I remember when John F. Kennedy was president. I also remember his campaign. And it is what it is. I mean, it's just a different world. And I have to adjust to it.
I saw Jack Kennedy the day before the election. He finished in Springfield in Boston.
Yeah.
And my mother was smart enough to keep us home from school, my sisters and myself. My grandmother handheld us and walked us to the steps of the City Hall in Springfield. And I could actually tell you who our nominees were on that day for the other offices, including the fact that Tom O'Connor, the mayor of Springfield, he was our nominee for the U.S. Senate. He had defeated Foster Furcolow in a Democratic primary, and he was an old friend of Tom's, and he lost the Senate race to Leverett Saltonstall that year. But Joe Ward from Fitchburg, who I knew because I represented Fitchburg at one time, kind of an interesting trivia question. If you said to people, who was the nominees for Secretary of State in Massachusetts that year? One was Ed Brooke on the Republican side.
Oh, wow.
And the other was Kevin White on the Democratic side. And Kevin White beat Ed Brooke in that race.
Yeah.
I believe that Francis Sweepstakes Kelly, the first guy to propose a lottery, I think he was our nominee for Attorney General. And I think Ted Butzko was our nominee for Auditor. But on that day, just to see Kennedy and to relate that if you drive by, if you go through South Street in Hyannis, the armory is still there where he came the next morning to acknowledge the telegram that Richard Nixon had sent to him.
Yeah.
Congratulating on him being elected president of the United States. That race was decided by 100,000 votes.
Yeah.
And I think at the time, what's amazing to me is that 100,000 votes if Richard Nixon accepted the result.
Yeah. Oh, now I'd be tied up in court for 40 years. You know. But it was a different world then.
Different world.
I still say to people today, you know, I'm an old man now. I realize that. And you reminisce a little bit. And, those were good times. I mean, I was a kid. Kennedy came to Pittsfield. I was at St. Charles. We ran up and down the street with flyers.
Yeah.
Kennedy flyers, right? And there was it wasn't doom and gloom. I mean, that's the other part. He had the Peace Corps. He had, you know, he made some mistakes. He had Bay of Pigs. Vietnam probably wasn't the best decision he ever made. But he was going on the facts that he had at the time, and that was, you know, they were trying to take a country. Yeah.
I always recommend to people, because we commemorate, we're one of the last communities in America that commemorates the Assassination Day.
Uh-huh.
And at Forest Park, where there's a pretty nice monument dedicated to his memory. But I always recommend to people that they should take a look, because you can get it on YouTube or you can call it up very, very easily. His speech that he gave to the Greater Houston Ministerial Council about religious liberty.
Yeah.
It was not only impactful, it highlighted the same truths that Jefferson and the founders had embraced about religious liberty back in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They were all students of the Enlightenment. They bought into the idea, the theory of rationale. But Kennedy took the invitation because his numbers were stalled in polling.
Yeah.
And his numbers were stalled because of the religious issue.
Exactly.
And he knew that he could no longer avoid it. So the simple lilt of what he had to say to an audience that was a bit skeptical of him.
Sure. Oh, and yeah.
If you remember that argument that was prevalent at the time that the Pope was going to run the country.
Yeah.
Where people had said in the Constitution there should be a prohibition on Catholics running for being president.
Remember that.
And it was pretty wild what was asserted about him.
Yeah.
And what Kennedy said that day, he said, essentially, nobody asked about his religious affiliation on the PT-109.
Yeah.
And he said, are you suggesting that I forfeited my right to be president on the day I was baptized?
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful summation of religious liberty. And the other thing that he said was, the Pope is not going to tell me what to do, and I hope that you're not going to tell anybody who to vote for.
Wow, that's great. Yes. Yeah.
And you know, the outcome of it was that he got a standing ovation from them.
Yeah.
Because he did not avoid the issue. He just went in and said, look, these are the facts. We're all Americans, despite our religious beliefs. But since that time, I mean, look at the progress that America has continued to make. You've had second Catholic president. Nobody even thought a second about it.
Exactly.
An African-American president, a Jewish candidate ran for vice president of the United States.
Yeah.
And now we have a mixed race woman, Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
We should, in America, we want to put the bad parts of our history in the rearview mirror.
Yes.
But respect the idea that eventually, if we keep trying, we'll get it right.
Well, and that's the goal. Another, and I paraphrase, correct? Yeah, you'll probably know this better than I. The one that I live with and I've said to people, which is sometimes received well and sometimes it isn't. It's not a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. Is it the right thing? And, you know, where are we with that? I mean, really, think about it. I try to think about it. Even when I do this show, I want to be fair to everybody. I have people on this show. They have a right to be on.
Sure.
They have a right. We are Pittsfield Community Radio, Pittsfield Community Television. I may not agree with them, but I'll never put them down. I'll ask questions of them to justify their positions. But I'm not a vindictive kind of guy anyhow. But
well, I always think, you know, you're right. And I always think that in my own instance, you know, when I go to work every day in the House of Representatives, I frequently remind myself that Abe Lincoln served in that body from 1846 to 1848. And still those words ring true today. Politics should appeal, as Mr. Lincoln said, to the better angels of our nature.
Yeah. You know.
And the last point I would make, right back to it, the other thing that he said, you know, in 1865, I often look from my office across to the Capitol.
Yeah.
spoke in 1865 after the worst moment in American history by far, the Civil War.
Yeah.
700,000 people died. 2% of the American population died. 9 states of the old Confederacy were in open rebellion. Lincoln was asked to bring them back at one point when the war was stalemated, and he said, I can't do that. He said, despite what people say, even today, that war was about slavery, period. Yeah. And Lincoln said, if they'll come back on my terms, that's great, but we're not coming back. They're not coming back on their terms. But he looks at this crowd after this awful, awful period of civil war. And he said, with malice toward none and charity for all.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where we got off track here, but I'm assuming, no, I'm believing. I'm not assuming. I'm believing that we'll get back on track. You missed a great play on Lincoln, and maybe I could get you to reading of it. Or not reading, but get you to. It was called Abe Lincoln in Illinois, and it was done by the Berkshire Theater Group. I have to tell you, it's not the textbook Lincoln. It was the Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
The doubts, the questions.
Sure.
Mary Todd. You know, I mean, I look at Abe Lincoln as bigger than life, but this brought him down to, hey, Abe Lincoln was a human.
Yeah.
He had all the worries, and it was a magnificent play. Well, and
in 2.5 minutes at Gettysburg, he married the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution. And since I know you're a very well-read guy, I just finished a really well-done book about Sam Adams.
Oh.
And the author's name is Schiff, a woman. She does a terrific job with the book. And we're reminded of the vagaries of public life with Sam Adams, because Jefferson and his cousin John Adams, they both pointed out that he was the stalwart of the American Revolution. And he objected to slavery, never owned a slave.
Right.
Constant voice of independence against what he considered to be the British domination of the colonies. And there's an old saying that Speaker Foley used to have. He used to say, one of the challenges we have in politics is we begin in anonymity and we end in anonymity.
Congressman, all I can tell you is what you have done for your district through the years. It was funny because you probably know the person that I was with, curly hair, white, like me. We don't meet at the barbershop anymore. But, you know, there's something to be said for just being your own person. You have always been, you've never, in my opinion, and I'll go, I got to do this. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti and the Mayor's Office, Peter White and the City Council, and or the people trying to figure out the bike lane. You've always been, you never forgot where you came from. And I've never met anybody who's said anything different in D.C. when I was there or here. You've always been like Smitty Pignatelli. You've always been a public servant. I have never looked at you as a politician, and that's a compliment. I hope you don't take it as an insult. I looked at you and Smitty as you really are. You're public servants. And, I applaud you for the effort you put into it, and I applaud you for all that you brought back to your district, whatever the district might have been through Reconstruction and all this. And I mean that. We've known each other a day or two, and your hair's gray and mine's gone. So there you go. You are a good man, Congressman. Thank you for coming on this show. And you know, I get such positive feedback from people about how approachable you are and your office. Like, there are people here who have come to me and said, oh, I'm glad I had to go to him about this, and his office was great, and he did this, and he did. So I want people to know that, you know?
Well, you've been a terrific friend of the Berkshires. You've been a great advocate for veterans, and your service speaks for itself.
Well, I'll tell you, I am proud always to be a veteran. I am proud of anything I can do to help other veterans. And I applaud you for all you've done. And I think before we go into the selection, in closing, let me say this. Don't, veterans, don't forget the PAC Act.
That's your life.
Don't forget the PAC Act. Because of it, a lot of us are now getting what I think we deserved.
What you earned.
Yeah, the toxic weight, all that stuff.
The burn pits.
Yeah. Yeah. And other things. Agent Orange.
Yeah.
So I just will say that. I'm not, veterans, I understand. You, believe me, I'll talk to the congressman at some point on the telephone about all that he's done for veterans. But stay with the people. Make your own choice, but remember the PAC Act is all I'm going to say. Congressman, I don't care what they say. Couple more years, I think you're going to have this down.
Well, I work at it.
You do work at it. And I will sometime over the next few days, I'll give you a quick call.
Please.
Through Jack. I'll arrange it through Jack.
Jack's right here.
I know. He's always there.
That's what we want.
Hey, he didn't go to the convention. What's up with that?
Well, he's got law school to consider.
Oh, God. Oh, please. I thought he was such a nice guy.
Thanks, Mike.
To everybody and to Congressman and Jack, I do this. I know it upsets some of you, but I'm going to do it. It's my right. God bless. And today, let's make somebody's load a little bit lighter. You know, let's start taking care of each other instead of tearing each other down. Why? Each other, that's all that we have. Congressman, thanks a million. Bye, Jack.